The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
a beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan.
Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
On a crisp day in the heartland of America, welcome. I am Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to our humble bunker. Sam is looking pretty frisky. He's looking really good.
He went
to the groomer today.
He had a spa day.
Yeah.
Can boy dogs do that?
I think they can, yes. He had a pedicure.
He was lying there being fed grapes and all that.
Oh, yeah, no. Wearing a toga.
Well, that is one good thing about a smooth coat dachshund, is that they don't really attract a lot of dirt. Or at least if they do, with the black and tan color scheme, you don't notice it. So it works out pretty well.
Yeah. So about every 2 months, we take him over to the groomers, primarily to get his nails trimmed. And he gets a little bath and he comes back with a cute little scarf on his collar.
Miss Stephanie's good about that.
She is.
And the fall color scheme works well with the black and tan. So, well, greetings. October 19th, 2010. Hope your day is going well. And thank you for inviting us inside your MP3 player or PC or wherever we happen to be at this moment. And we're
Let us out.
And boy, today has just been a remarkable day in many, many ways, some of which we can actually tell you about.
You know what? It wasn't another dream, just in case you want to know.
Yeah, I guess I should have been clear about that up front.
Although my dreams are all good, I got to tell you, I am married to the best guy in the whole wide world, and every day is a miracle.
And that is the fact. And today we just saw the Lord's hand at work in other ways today for good people, friends of ours. And we're just very, very thankful and humbled. So
absolutely,
we will leave it at that. But much, much to talk about today. Homer Simpson in the news. And who would have thought Homer Simpson
would make it into two stories in one day?
And frankly, I'm shocked that
and neither one makes any sense.
Well, no, they don't. I mean, this is like something from The Simpsons. The story of Homer Simpson being involved with possibly the largest marijuana bust in all of Mexico, in Mexican history, which is
that's saying a lot.
But this is a bizarre story, and the pictures are, well, I mean, this is really weird. Homer Simpson used.
I want to thank Michael, by the way. He sent me a bunch of links today, so some of the stories that we're going to be talking about are courtesy him.
Yeah, apparently Homer's being used as a brand for marijuana. In Mexico, and there are pictures that because we're talking about this, we'll have to show you these. So I'll put a link in the show notes at PIDradio.com of bundles of narcotics with Homer Simpson's smiling face on the bundle.
That's right. Also, you can of course go to our Instapaper site. PID Radio, all one word, is the username, and any of the items that we star are in a folder, starred folder, and you can take a look at those in the I just started, so that that story is in that folder.
Yeah, biggest drug bust in Mexican history, 105 tons seized, street value £215 million, which is well, in dollars, I didn't look at the exchange rate.
And counting, because they hadn't opened up all of them yet. They really hadn't gotten a final tally.
Yeah. Well, I haven't looked at the exchange rate lately, but last time I had checked, $215 million was probably going to be somewhere $300-$350 million dollars. And there it is. Parcels color-coded. Some included a picture of cartoon character Homer Simpson accompanied with the writing, "I'm going to get high, dude," and Homer with his trademark arms raised, woohoo, pose.
The color-coded bundles also had other pictures on them. Some of them were cartoony, drawing like smiley face kind of looking characters. And apparently the pictures made it easier to know I assume what area of the country, because my understanding is that they were all going to America, North America, but sort of like, okay, this one goes over here, this one goes over here. Easily sorted.
Well, that could be. It also could be that these were different materials, different narcotics, different kinds of drugs.
It could be, but when you've got supply chain management problems, you have to figure out a quick way.
Obviously, they're using Kanban procedures in the drug industry now.
You're going to have to explain what that is.
They had a Kaizen meeting, and Kanban is essentially a system my employer has been bringing in. It's developed in Japan, as you would imagine, and it's a system of streamlining operations through a warehouse or a factory so that the material moves as little as possible, moves as efficiently as possible, and it essentially is just in time. I mean, when you are making a widget, if you need a couple of washers, those washers are in your supply tray as you need them, instead of having a huge,
big old fat
thing, of washers there that get in the way. There are different things that you can do to make things easier for making sure that the right material is in the right place at the right time. And color coding is one of those things. So,
six degrees of Homer Simpson takes us to Japan with the Mr. Sparkle. Box.
That's right. There was that episode of The Simpsons a few years ago where somehow an image of Homer Simpson wound up on a brand of soap flakes, Mr. Sparkle. And that led to, of course, hilarity ensued.
Well, Homer Simpson was also in the news today in another story that is, you wouldn't think that it's in any way, shape, or form related to this, and it probably isn't, but that headline in Fox News says, "In Excelsis, don't!" Which is really bad. Vatican says Homer Simpson is Catholic.
Oh, brother. Well, why not? I mean, they've essentially declared that extraterrestrials, should there be any, are very likely Roman Catholic.
Or at least should be
evangelized. But...
And we're going to get to extraterrestrials here in a little bit.
Yeah.
Thanks to Michael, we've got a couple of UFO stories we're going to talk about.
Oh, brother.
What really kills me about this is this is based on a 2005 article written by a Jesuit priest who watched one episode of The Simpsons.
I see. The Reverend Francesco Ochetta discussed Homer and Bart in a 2005 episode.
After a meeting with a sympathetic priest, Father Sean, voiced by actor Liam Neeson.
Who did the voice of, Lion, Witch and Wardrobe.
He did?
The Lion. He did the
I didn't, Aslan?
He did the voice of Aslan.
I didn't realize that.
Of course, he also played, Kinsey in...
Anyway. I had to look at the date on this because I thought this surely was from last April 1st, but no, indeed, it is from today.
Yeah.
And it's an AP story. I mean, it's... Well, I have no response for this.
Well, pretty clearly that...
Based on the fact that they pray and they go to church, they are considered Catholic.
Obviously, they have not noticed that they attend the Presby Lutheran Church in Springfield.
That's what we always refer to it. It's just sort of your non-denom, middle of the road. We don't want to ask a whole lot of you kind of church.
Yeah. Well, and you'd have to wonder why they care. I mean, you assume that Father the Reverend Ochetta is aware that Homer and Bart are fictional characters. I mean, you'd hope that he would recognize that.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. Well,
trying a little too hard to be relevant. Yeah.
Enough of Homer Simpson. Well, we've also, there's so much to talk about. Staying on the subject of the bizarre, an artist has made a life-size likeness of a comatose, an Ariel Sharon lying in bed, but his eyes are open. So I don't think he's in a coma in the bed, but then again, is he? this is a video that is really, really disturbing, and I've got it at PID News. I'm looking to see if I've got it at the paper site. Don't think so.
Well, it's at PIDnews.com, and you can find it there. Likeness of Ariel Sharon in coma goes on show, and why this artist would choose to portray – and by the way, in case you hadn't been keeping track, Ariel Sharon, who suffered a massive coma – or a massive stroke, rather, in – was it 2005?
January of 2006.
January of 2006. For some reason, I thought it was December of 2005. January of 2006. So he's been in a coma for over 4.5 years, going on 5 years now, and he is still there. And this artist has chosen to portray him in the hospital bed. That is really bizarre. How – now, Ariel Sharon was in his 70s, or is, I should say. I shouldn't speak of him in the past tense yet. How long do they intend to keep him in a coma? How long can he remain in the coma?
I honestly don't know the answer to that. Clearly, they're not concerned about finances. I mean, that would be the one of the main things weighing on a family that has a loved one who is in a coma like this. This was a medically induced coma that he never came out of.
Right, and they have tried to awaken him since inducing the coma without any success.
So the question is he there? I mean, who was last in there to see him?
Oh, okay. I thought you were speaking metaphysically.
No. Well, that's the other question. Is he there?
Well, I don't know.
But, you know, the thing I said to you when I was looking, we were watching this video, this when you came home for lunch, I said, what if he wakes up?
Well, that's a good question because the previous prime minister, not Netanyahu, but the gentleman whose name is escaping me now. I can see his face. He was the...
Ehud Barak?
No, not Ehud Barak. Oh, gosh. We can just hear voices across America now shouting out the answer. he was the deputy, I believe, the deputy prime minister when Sharon had the stroke. And I'll think
Shimon
of
Shimon Peres? No. No, he was it a long time ago.
Yeah. Anyway... you're right, though. What happens? I suspect that nothing, really, because after 4.5 years in a coma.
Well, I didn't mean would he get to be prime minister again. I meant spiritually speaking.
Oh, okay.
What's in there?
Well, good question. Don't know.
Just prophetically.
Is it like the empty house? Who's,
yeah. Know. Oh, yeah. So very strange that this artist decided to do this. And, of course, it's on display. So go there and watch the video. It's kind of creepy.
Ehud Olmert.
That's right. Well, Olmert, of course, that's right. He had a lot of problems and ended up having to resign.
Yeah. He succeeded to the office when Sharon had the stroke. Mm-hmm. Just kind of a creepy thing. And speaking of Israel, a news note to Benjamin Netanyahu noting that Hamas has now obtained anti-aircraft missiles.
This is big. This is a game changer.
It's every time Hamas or the militants in the Gaza or the West or Gaza especially, not so much the West Bank, start lobbing rockets into Israel, that you'll find Israel responding very quickly with usually a helicopter assault and rocket attacks targeting the areas from which the rockets were launched. But you're right. If they've got anti-aircraft missiles, helicopters are pretty much sitting ducks for those things. Mm-hmm. But the anti-aircraft missiles would also be able to take down Israeli war planes. Mm-hmm. So, that would change the balance of power significantly because again, Israel's air force has had dominance over the skies in the skies over Gaza.
And this news comes right on the heels of Ahmadinejad's visit to Lebanon. And that is not a small matter that Ahmadinejad was just there. And suddenly we find out that there are anti-aircraft missiles in the Gaza Strip.
Yeah. So we'll have to watch that. I mean, just a lot of things simmering and bubbling there. It does not appear that the feared takeover of Lebanon by Syria and Iran took place after Ahmadinejad's visit. But according to Debka file, Lebanon flexed its muscles just a little bit and forced Hezbollah to lay low during the visit. While Ahmadinejad was visiting certain locations, rather than being escorted by Hezbollah gunmen, he was actually escorted by Lebanese military troops who no doubt made it. It was sort of sending a signal. Mm-hmm. You don't tell us what to do. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, it wouldn't take a whole lot to trigger things.
Well, speaking of signals, this is a strange thing. And when you link to this, if you go to the Instapaper site, because I did not put this at PID News, you will, when you get there, need to translate it because this is in Dutch. Hmm. I don't speak Dutch, but I can translate it on Google. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. F-16s intercept Russian bombers over The Hague.
Ooh, so Russia's kind of probing NATO's defenses again.
Well, maybe. You know, you got to wonder what on earth they're thinking. They've been doing similar activities over northern Canada. Are they trying to, you're right, flex muscles? Russia is, I think Russia is trying its best to out China as far as their geopolitical importance.
Mm-hmm. Not a surprise. It'll be, you know, this has been ongoing for quite some time. This is not really a new development, maybe just a new area where they're probing air defenses, but it's like we're back into the Cold War again.
Mm-hmm. Well, it says here it's the second time in more than 1 month that Russian long-range bombers in European airspace have been identified. And on the night of the 15th of September, there were British, Danish, and German aircraft in action against the Russian aircraft.
Hmm.
This was a big deal, a serious deal that could have led to, frankly, missiles being fired.
Almost a variant of the plot of the classic film Failsafe.
Boy, that's a good movie.
Somebody does something accidentally, a computer that's supposed to serve as a failsafe to, war breaking out, sends the wrong signal, or is compromised in some way. That's a dangerous thought, too, with the Stuxnet worm and other potential cyber attacks lurking out there.
Well, exactly. There are so many computers that are responsible for the whether or not we retaliate or identifying incoming, aircraft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or UFOs, which is a segue. Boom chink.
Well, that was
pretty
quick.
How about that?
Yeah. Boy, you're getting really good at this.
I'm good at this.
Yeah.
I learned from the master.
UFOs, we talked about the 1013 great unveiling, and maybe we were a little too hasty. I don't know. It didn't seem like it was the big deal that it was being played up.
No, it didn't at the time. But since then, those lights over New York City that people all said those were balloons, something very similar has appeared over El Paso, Texas.
Yeah, Rob Scott Skiba. Sorry, I keep
it's
saying
Skiba.
No, it is Skiba.
Is Skiba?
He said Skiba. I presume that he knows.
Strange and mysterious lights hovering above East El Paso tonight. What's even strange, very similar lights were spotted in...
Sorry, I didn't mean to just jump in with the video there.
Good on you.
That was the audio from the video, from the television report from Channel 9 in El Paso, Texas. And they showed interesting. That almost looks like...
Oh, I know. The video is compelling. It is very clearly not balloons.
Yeah. That looks like three points of light that are separating out and forming a triangular shape.
But when they start out, they look like almost like meteorites.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or like those missiles in the old video game Missile Command.
They do, but they suddenly stop.
Right. In a triangular shape.
Uh-huh.
And then there are others there. So the points of light that were... over New York appeared in the daytime, and so they looked very much like Mylar balloons.
Mm-hmm.
But these lights, the video from El Paso, clearly something other than a Mylar balloon.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is another video that is showing something over Richmond. But you know what? This doesn't look quite the same to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It may or may not be connected, but we're throwing it out there, seeing if it sticks. And again, thank you, Michael.
Yep.
You know what? I love it when people send me stuff. I don't always have time to thank you for it, but I always look at it.
There's a comment at the YouTube account for the video that you posted it that says that it was the U.S. Army Golden Knights.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Yeah. Well,
an air show? Yeah.
In the dark like that?
It
did not look like...
They don't normally go straight down.
No.
And then stop. In the
well, and then stop. I mean, sadly, there are some planes that have gone straight down and passed, but they don't usually stop halfway.
No.
Yeah. So this was just an interesting little development, as L.A. Marzulli would say, real burgeoning, not going away. So what else did I want to mention here? Facebook. All your face are belong to us.
Yes, indeed it is.
This is a story that we meant to talk about the other day and got onto some other topics. A couple of things, or a couple of reasons Facebook is in the news. First of all, a story that came out yesterday that Facebook has, and no surprise to anyone who was in Canton, Ohio, and we we talked about this there, has been sharing more information than they say they're sharing. Many of the more popular apps that you can use at Facebook, the games and so forth, have been transmitting.
Frontierville.
Yeah, right. City of Wonder.
City of Wonder, one you like to play.
Have been providing, transmitting, identifying information, access to names and your friends' names.
That shouldn't be a surprise. When you start to play these games and you click on the app, it says right there, do we have permission to access your friends list, all of your information? Can we just rifle through your stuff?
Right. But the problem is that this has been affecting Facebook users, even those who've set the privacy settings to the strictest level.
And that's the problem.
Yes.
You are so right.
This breaks Facebook's rules, Facebook says, and the developers of the apps have said, oh, sorry, it was a mistake.
We feel sick about it.
Yeah, it was a mistake the same way Google was sort of slurping up information from open Wi-Fi networks in 30 countries as they traveled around taking pictures for their map street view pictures.
I'm totally sorry about that. We left that turned on and we just hate it. Sorry.
Yeah, we forgot to, we were using the Wi-Fi camera, apparently.
Okay.
Yeah.
We did the notes.
So, anyway, Facebook has been sharing more information than you expect. And considering that, I mean, when you think about it, Facebook is gold to intelligence services. I mean, there are 500 million users on Facebook. And some of the more popular apps, the Zynga games, have close to 60 million users. I mean, 60 million users, that's the population of the United Kingdom. 500 million, that's the U.S., France, and Germany combined, and then some, you know, enough left over for, you know, Liechtenstein. And all of that information is just sitting there like a clutch of golden eggs. And that's why intelligence officers...
you know, we're hoping to do a video version of this show soon for you. And if you'd only seen him when he said that.
Yeah, it's... You're working on, you know, practicing the faces. And that's why intelligence officers...
We're going to have avatars, though. I want to be the Kool-Aid guy.
Oh, yeah! Like Second Life.
Kool-Aid.
We can call this Half a Life. No, we call this the Abundant Life.
This is amen, brother.
Yeah. Mm. Intelligence officers have been advised, have been asked, have been tasked with getting online and friending people so that they can be... You know, they can be part of networks and just see what we're exchanging, what kind of information we're exchanging back and forth. Now, we have a fair amount of friends. I mean, certainly, as far as Facebook goes, you and I don't have the most friends on Facebook or anything like that.
Oh, no, heavens no.
Or the most, you know, followers on Twitter or anything like that. We don't actively go out and cultivate that, but we've got a lot of people who will send us friend requests. And we will generally accept them, especially if we see that there are a number of our friends, people that we do know, who you know, are already on their friends list. Oh, okay, well, they've got six people. I know these six people, so he's probably all right. So, but how do we really know? How do we really know? Especially after watching the film Surrogates the other night, the Bruce Willis film, where they're in the interrogation session and talking to a corporate attorney who is a very pretty young lady. And she says, and she takes offense to something he says. I say, well, you don't know, you don't know me. And I'm paraphrasing the conversation and editing it for content. And he basically responds and says, you know, I don't know anything. For all I know, you could be a big smelly fat guy, you know, sitting on a couch someplace. And truly, that is a fact when you're dealing with people online.
Anything online. That is a fact, Jack. I mean, if you are a 13-year-old and you think, ooh, this 18-year-old is talking to me and he's really cool and this and that.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? He may be a 35-year-old pedophile.
Right. Exactly right. And we heard so many stories when we were out in Columbia, Missouri, and I had the head of the Mid-Missouri Internet Crimes Task Force on the show on a monthly basis because I thought it was really important. And I know you agree. I mean, we tried to drill this into Nicole's head. You just don't know who's on the other end of that internet.
You don't, but you have the sense of being, you know, immune
right.
to everything.
Well, point being that the friends that are friending you on Facebook and following you on Twitter may in fact be a case officer for some intelligence agency somewhere in the world, and we say, hi, how you doing?
Hi, how you doing?
I mean, there was a good point that Carlotta Waldman, who's the host of Crosswalk Talk, made last night as we were discussing the presentation that I gave in Canton. She said, you can't hide from these people, so you might as well just come out and be bold in your witness.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And maybe some of them will get converted too. And I said, you know, that's a great way of looking
at
this.
That is a good way. Wouldn't that be great?
Don't hide in the closet because you're not going to be safe there anyway. It's an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
And besides, if you're proclaiming boldly to other people with gentleness and respect, you know, you are storing up treasures in heaven, regardless of what happens to you in this life.
That is the truth, sir. Well, speaking of things that you may or may not be aware of, there are some locations, and I won't name the school. This is a well-known university that has a...
Sam is snoring over there in the corner.
You know, when we get video and Sam is on there, forget it. You and I are toast. It'll be the Sam show.
He's got more friends than I do. So,
he does. Yeah. Well, more friends than I do. There is a well-known university that has a blood donor clinic.
Hmm.
And people go there to donate their blood. And I think it's terrific.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But this university has announced that they have profiled the genomes of some, I think it was like 10,000 or more, don't have the number in front of me, so forgive me, donors. And they plan on continuing to do this. Did you know when you give your blood that they're going to type your DNA and put it in a database?
Well, this all sounds like it's just another arm of that novel intelligence by massive data program that run by the NSA, because it's not only just sifting through the mountains and mountains of electronic data that we generate on a daily basis through our use of the internet and our debit cards and our cell phones. It's also biometric data like our fingerprints, our DNA. I hadn't even thought about that.
Oh, yeah. And the reason I'm not naming the school is because this school probably is not unique. My guess is that any blood donor clinic and every college has them, that you're going to find they are typing your DNA at the very least. Their excuse may be, we're looking for markers for such and such. We want to make sure you're not. Or it could be that they're putting all this stuff into a database. And as a researcher, I can understand the importance of having that database. But you know what? This is private.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a future, you know, employer to be able to hack into this database or have access to this database. Police officers want access to the databases.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I mean, when do our private lives get to be really private?
No, not anymore. You step outside the front door, you have no expectation of privacy. In fact, anything that's on your hard drive, including the MP3 you're listening to right now, you have no expectation that this is private. Police come into your home looking for something else. If it's on your hard drive, it's evidence.
And knowing all of this, why is it that Derek and I can laugh at the end of every show?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because we know Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And we know how it all ends. We've read the end of the book.
That's right. Spoilers. Good guys win.
Good guys win.
Now, that's not to take any of this lightly, because it is serious stuff.
No, it is not.
And many people are in for a very difficult road. But if you read carefully the words of Jesus, he was not a life coach. He warned us that this would be difficult. He warned us from day one this would be difficult. But
Crystal Cathedral has filed for bankruptcy.
Yep.
Sadly, and our show needs to end pretty soon here.
I know. I was going to say, we don't have a lot of time to go into that.
But I just want to throw that in.
Yeah. Robert Shuler and his message apparently not drawing the way it used to.
Well, you know, positive thoughts just aren't flowing, I guess.
I guess not. Well, we'll be back again tomorrow, God willing. And until then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here.